destiny. The design is clearly ancient, launched hundreds of thousands of years ago. Well, okay, I thought there was more to that intro, but that's...
Was that Stargate? What was that?
Yes, it was Stargate Universe.
Well, that's it for...
Literally thought it was more, and then it says feature lines of different characters, but still makes sense as a singular expository monologue. The second half of the first season changes this montage, and it doesn't resemble the coherent narration anymore. Well, didn't do that right. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Weird Wonderful Worlds.
That couldn't have been better. That was perfect.
Where we talk about things that we love, things that we get involved with, things that consume our lives. Practices that we get into, things that are happening right now, things that happened a long time ago. But
you just described everything. You just
did. Yes, things.
This
that
is
are
the
things.
View. Welcome.
Today we're going to talk to Whoopi Goldberg.
I'm going to talk to Barbara Walters.
Oh, Barbara Walters! Didn't we dress up as Barbara Walters for something?
Doesn't sound like something we wouldn't have done.
I feel like I was Barbara Walters for something.
There's always a chance. I'm Barbara Wawa.
Maybe in middle school. I feel like in middle school I dressed up for like important historical person day.
She was an important historical person.
That's why I believe it would be that day and not famous black men day. I don't think I would have dressed as Barbara Walters.
No,
for that.
I hate to say it. You would have been full on Cosby if that were the case.
I would have. We didn't know. I didn't
Nobody
know.
Nobody knew.
Nobody knew.
It was like plastics or McDonald's. You didn't know how bad they were for you or the environment.
Yes. All right, Matt, we didn't just record something. So what are we going to talk about today, Matt? Now, should I read off the list or do you want to freeball something?
No, them nards is a dangling.
I mean, yours are empty right now because you just had a child, right?
That's how it works. That's how
they
it
just
works.
Deflate.
Yeah, no, it's
after you have a baby.
You know everything about semen. Let's talk about testicles.
It is a weird, wonderful world. So our list has weird movies, New York City cohabitating, or touring. But I believe we spoke about touring, so that's gone.
We've discussed touring.
Let me think, Matt. You know what? I'm going to ask you about something. Did you send me a picture of your baby just now?
I did. He's wearing a robe.
Oh God, he's so fucking happy.
Oh gosh, look at that tongue! Look at that.
He's a
tongue.
He's a precious little man.
Oh God, you're a little monster.
Here's you know what we're going to talk about, Matt?
Not even a little bit.
We're going to talk about investing.
Okay.
Because I am so financially illiterate, it's incredible.
I am hardly an expert, but I am well-read enough for an actor to survive. And I think...
Okay, yes.
I think
yes.
It is, in my eyes, something I wish I had learned about earlier. And something that I wish had taken me less time to learn about.
Okay.
So go ahead. What are your questions?
So here's my first question. How fucked am I?
not very, because I'm going to tell you guys something about Sean. Sean had recently discovered an account he has with like a couple thousand dollars in it. So he stumbled upon a retirement account. Yeah.
I have a 401k with an exceptional amount of money in it that I was unaware I had.
So you're going to be fine. So it's weird because investing has a lot of different facets. There's a lot of areas. You talk about the retirement and all these things. And you should definitely retire because if your money just sits there, saving your money is wasting your money because it does not hold its value. And the emergency fund is different. You keep yourself like 1 year or like a 6 month runway depending on what you do and how reliable your income is. But that's more if worst case scenario, you have something right then and there. But that also means that money refreshes. You want to invest it because you want it to grow. But that's not why I invest. Yes?
He's whacking. Apparently, I'm by a train. Go on.
Oh, I didn't even hear. Go for a jog. You can say you've run train.
God damn it. No. You don't say run train and then start singing train.
Look. I guess she's back in the atmosphere with, you know, just drops of Jupiter in her hair.
Has there ever been a train run while listening to train?
There's been a running of the bulls while listening to Whoop There It Is, I'm certain.
Was there a running of the bulls while Bulls on Parade was played? That's the real question.
Absolutely. And Michael Jordan was there with Dennis Rodman Recently watched Rodman. The Last Stand. Such a good documentary. It made me really? Care. What? Made me care about a sport.
Okay, is that the Michael Jordan one?
That's the Michael Jordan one. Yeah, that's one. And I took it personal.
It's not about the Alamo.
It is not about the Alamo.
This is upsetting.
It's not about X-Men 3 either. So that's.
Oh God, it should be.
So, investing is a weird thing. Asking me questions is the easiest way. I could tell you how I started getting into it, but yeah, jump on that journey.
So as somebody that is, again, I cannot stress this enough, completely financially illiterate.
Which is weird because you know that term.
Yes.
It's weird because that's the one financial term that you know is a very important one.
Yes. I find that a sound investment is a $200 Kickstarter for a board game about Egyptian gods. Okay. So that to me is investing.
Well, I'm going to put it this way. That's not investing at all.
Okay, great. I'm glad we've established that.
In fact, there are two big categories you can get with your things, right? You can get assets or liabilities. Some things earn you money, some things lose you money.
I've been referred to as a liability many times in my life.
Yeah, I can believe that, but that might be a safety issue as well.
Okay.
That's just wasting money. I think that's a third category of the Kickstarter bucket. That's just. But at the same time, they always say, you invest in yourself. So you invest what makes you happy. That's absolutely fine. So if you educate yourself, going to school in theory is an investment in your education, or you teach yourself a skill, go on Skillshare, that's investing in you. Okay. But I think the best way to describe investing is to essentially buy something. Because you could say it's putting your money somewhere to grow. But to make it easier, you are buying something that is going to earn you more money than what it cost.
Okay.
And it's always You want a return on investment. There you go. Hey, look at you. You're learning things. And look, I'm hardly a financial educator. I just do it for myself. Yes. And the way I do it is I like to buy things that will earn me more money than I spent to get them. So it doubles your money. It's the best way for actors to support themselves. It's something I wish I had learned sooner. I would probably have way more, and I would probably need to do way more less day job work. But I had discovered a book when I was about 25 called The Not So Starving Artist by Stephen Cerf. It is available on Amazon. There's a Kindle version. There's a paperback. Every actor should read this book. There's one category that he does not touch on that I'm looking to invest in right now for my next kind of investments. But the whole thing is what you can do with the money you earn from your performance work. Because the idea, and so another classic book that everyone reads is Rich Dad, Poor Dad. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure you've even heard. Have you heard of that one? It's got a purple cover.
I've definitely heard of it.
Yeah, at the very least. And the whole idea is basically what you pay your bills with. You buy things that pay you money to get you to buy other things. So instead of buying your luxury item, like your TV or your car, you buy something that makes you that money to buy the TV or your car. A lot of these guys talk about real estate, which is a great investment. I've never been in one place long enough to buy a piece of property.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, as exciting as this episode's going, I feel like you got to throw some questions my way because I feel like I don't know where to go.
Rubik's
and you don't know where
Cubes to start. Was still the highest one we have. So
that's a very different conversation, I think, than the ins and outs of investing for actors.
So here's my question. I have a series of questions. All right. So
yes,
in
please,
investing,
please, we need this to last 30 minutes.
What's the ground floor? Where do you get in? How do you understand it? Because here's what investing is to me, right? It's gambling. That's what it is to me. Is that wrong? Like stocks. What are stocks?
So yes and no.
What's a crypto?
Oh God. Because money doesn't exist, right?
Wow.
All right. So we can all wrap our heads around this. Does money exist?
Oh, shit.
Money is nothing more than a transactionary tool to convey value.
Yes.
The same way time's look, I'll give you an hour of my time. I'll give you 20 of my dollars. It is the exact same thing. And crypto is just another imaginary thing that people put value on. But that's a whole other category.
And it's also Superman's dog.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Crypto the super dog. Ah, that made me feel all warm and fuzzy. Yeah, you know about investing now. But so ground floor is a weird thing to try and leverage, because there are certain things that are just better investments for people who don't want to get involved. So if you were to buy something like what they call a mutual fund or an index fund, you're basically buying the stock market. And the idea is, you know, buying a single stock, like what's going on with all the Wall Street bets and all that, like that is a matter of braving the market. That is essentially a form of gambling. You can do it. There are super various ways to get more specific so you know what you're doing. Hedge your bets. There's things called stop losses, buying options, but that's when you're really, really trading. Versus just
more long,
that's I'm talking trading versus investing. Investing, I'm talking
that's like a day trader.
Yeah, a day trader. That's what my father does. Okay.
Got you.
And that's when you're like moving one single stock to try and make more money from it, either earning more money or it losing more money. Because you could short a stock, you can actually bet that a stock will lose, and you can make money doing that.
That's essentially what happened with GameStop, right? Is that they fucked the big corporations that were short selling that, and then they made it a very profitable stock. Is that what happened?
So I have a very odd perspective on this.
Okay.
Because in theory, they were doing it on purpose to like move. Yeah. And so they were, I don't think they were doing that. Let me put it that way. They weren't looking to screw the people who were shorting the stock, but what they did wound up screwing the people that were shorting the stock. And that just affected way more and more people. But
It was essentially more like when I do a bit and then it becomes real and then somebody suffers because I made a bit real.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's like crypto. There's this whole thing called pump and dump where you promote this crypto. Everybody buys into it. And as soon as it goes live, they all just sell their shares.
Elon Musk. That's what Elon Musk does.
Does he pump and dump?
I don't know. He might be a supervillain. I think we might be in the age of supervillains.
That's absolutely fine. Look, here's the weird thing about Elon Musk. I understand wanting to go to Mars. I don't know why he wants to bring humans. We are not great. Like, what's...
We're not great.
No.
And his wife Grimes, have you seen her?
Leanne Grimes?
Oh my God. Leanne Grimes.
Here's the thing. This is a super weird thing. This is why I don't necessarily invest too much. I've traded stocks before. I don't love to do it. I don't love to be on a high information diet, so I don't watch a lot of news. So it actually makes me very great to go to a party with. He's like, "Do you hear what's happening in the world?" I have no idea. Tell me about it. And all of a sudden we have a conversation. I know nothing about anything. So you do need to be pretty plugged in to be actively trading in stocks. But if you're going to passively put into a portfolio, like you buy those index funds, you buy the whole stock market, you know you're going to have to ride the ups and downs, but and you are immediately diversified when you do that. And diversifying is when you have several different categories of stocks that balance each other out.
Right. So when you make a portfolio, follow me. Okay. Because there's high risk and low risk, right? I remember when I was a teacher, they were like, "Hey, you can put this money and we'll do it risky or not risky." Is that is there essentially a computer that's investing your stocks, or are you somebody that actively is I'm picking stocks, or are you just oh, these are the ones that normally are okay?
I have been, but you just, profit? I mean, and look, there are a million and a half ways to learn and do it properly, but it does take attention. It's not a passive activity. And anyone who says it's easy has either gotten lucky or they're lying to you. I will not accept that people think of this as something that you could just jump in and do. But yeah, I mean, you can watch the chart go up and then you can watch the chart go down and then buy it and watch the chart go up. Like, that's absolutely a way to do it. I mean, the stock market is not my favorite means of investment. It's just, it's a pretty good vessel. But, you know, the 401ks, if you're willing to put in the time, absolutely. Go out there, read the books, Intelligent Investor, Benjamin Graham, Warren Buffett's Analyzing Value Stocks. I don't remember the name of the piece. There's so many books to go out there and read, because you should. Everybody should have some level of financial literacy. They should know how to budget. They should have their net worth intact. It's just useful, right? You don't have to be on top of it. I check my finances once a week. I don't look at them for all week. And then I spend an hour a week just balancing my books. And then I move on with my day. And I know exactly how much I'm worth. It's not a lot. It's not great.
Man, I would almost guarantee you I'm worth negative money.
No, you at this point are a shareholder in Kickstarter.
Can I be real with you? I've spent over, that's the only thing I know budgetary. I've spent over $600 on Kickstarter board games.
That was so much less than I thought you were going to say just now, and I actually feel so much better about that.
Okay, good. Yes. A little peek behind the curtain, everyone. Matt is constantly concerned about my financial well-being, and he never says it out loud, but I really do appreciate it, because I know it's there. I know he's worried, and we'll get there.
I'm not actually necessary, because there is a balance, right? You don't have to worry about your spending if your money's coming in good at the same time. So I'm not actually worried that you're going to be in the poorhouse. I do worry about your spending sometimes.
Well, see, here's the thing, is what I've learned about myself recently is that I am like absolutely against spending money until I find something that I very much am like, this is worth every dollar. So I'll be like, you know what? I'm going to find the cheapest sandwich in the airport. I'm not going to drink alcohol because it costs money. But then like, I'm like, you know what? I'm really into yo-yos. And over $700 on yo-yos.
Here's the
18.
Thing. If you do it right, anything could be an investment. Like if you're big into shoes, shoes can be an investment, because it's always like, they call it like the biggest sucker or whatever it is. Like there's always somebody else who's going to want to buy it for more than you bought it for. It's always the thing. Hold on. I'm going to send you this picture and you're going to put it up and we're going to talk about this. This is something you're talking about, like what is the barrier to entry? I mean, I think there's just so many factors to investing. So I think throwing out more questions is good, but investing is essentially just doing something with your money. Because if your money just sits there, it withers away like a muscle. It atrophies. Like $1 million, if you have $1 million today in the bank, in your checking account, and you just leave it there in 1 year, in 10 years, in 20 years, it's not gonna be $1 million. Inflation's gonna kick you in the nuts, and you can't rely on it. So this is the periodic table of asset classes. This is completely a novelty, but I think this will give you a little bit of perspective.
I'm going to fucking barf. I don't even know what I'm looking at.
So you're talking about risk, right? So there are always ways to alleviate your risk. And so say you're investing in a business, you want to be at the top of the cap stack. You want to make sure you have transparency. You want liquidity. Liquidity is a great way to alleviate risk, because that means you can
Liquidity, the darker the borders, the less liquid the financial instrument.
A financial instrument that is liquid means you can get your money back sooner. So I buy a stock in GameStop, I can sell that. You need somebody else to be buying it on the other side, but you can sell it pretty quickly. Like you're probably not going to sit in that trade forever. Versus if I buy a house as an investment property, it's going to take way longer to get that money out. Yeah.
Okay, interesting. Good to know.
And look, real estate's a super cool investment. Super cool investment, guys. Come on, stick in. But like with the real estate stuff, like you can have capital appreciation where just the value of the property grows. And then when you sell that property, it's worth more. You have equity in the property. So say you get a mortgage, you get more of it every time. So if you put 20% down, you own 20% of the property. But if you pay it all off, you own the whole damn thing. There's cash flow. If you rent it out, you can get it earning for you. There's so many things you could do. But what we're looking at here is there's different asset classes. There's currencies. You can have your fixed incomes, which would be like your securities bonds or your savings bonds that I'm sure some family member has bought you all at some point. Equities or stocks.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
What's a structured product? I don't even know what that is.
If you're not on the Patreon, which is everyone, we're currently looking at a visual depiction of like a periodic table with what looks to be a couple of categories of things you can invest in, like currency, fixed income, equities, structured products, private equity, real estate, infrastructure, commodities, and collectibles. And here's how I know I have a problem with money, okay? Matt, out of all the things listed in all of these categories, which one do you think I am immediately wanting to invest my money in?
Please tell me it's collectibles, because I think you should.
It is not collectibles.
You want to buy commodities?
Yeah. What's at the bottom of commodities? Read it out loud.
Corn. You want to invest in corn?
I want to invest in corn.
Why not? Invest in corn.
And racehorses.
Well, that's under the collectibles, which is a weird thing.
And so like it says that.
Okay, so think about gold, right? You were asking about crypto. I give you a piece of gold, what the hell value is that to you?
That's true.
Like it's a very nice rock. It's a shiny ore.
It is a shiny ore.
But like my wedding ring is gold, and it's a value to me.
Humble brag.
Yo, God, I'm basically Persian. It's
Shaws of Sunset starring Matt Sidney.
But like it's got some monetary value because somebody else will buy it for something. It might not be what I spent for it, but you know, crypto is the same way. It's just this thing that you can buy or sell because someone else might think it's more valuable than what it was.
Okay, and now is a crypto a non-fungible token? Is that the same thing?
No, crypto is. No, crypto is like soup's fungible.
Okay, what is fungible?
Fungible is like the Mona Lisa.
Okay, so like, we're getting farther away from me understanding. Fungible is a word I believe I read in a Chuck E. Cheese.
I might even actually be getting it backwards, but the whole idea is that it's something that there is only one of and there cannot be another of.
Okay, is fungible like a
dollar?
Real world?
Yeah, mm-hmm. like a dollar. They can always make another dollar bill.
So a dollar is fungible.
I'm not sure if I'm getting them backwards. Hold on, it's funny. I was just.
Reading. I mean, that would grammatically make sense that if a non-fungible thing is more expensive, that would mean that it can only exist in a singularity.
Here we go. Of goods contracted with replaceable. Okay, yeah. So fungible means. I'm sorry, I got it backwards. So the Mona Lisa is non-fungible, and a dollar bill is fungible.
Right. So like, if I were to like paint a painting. And then sell it. That's technically non-fungible.
Yeah, I mean, because the painting is that one of a kind.
Correct.
Even if you paint it again.
Then like non-fungible tokens right now are like digitally unique things, where it's like it has the IP address and the tracing number.
But it's not a new thing. Like a meme is not a new thing. Memes were invented in like the 70s. The concept of memes came out.
What are you saying to me right now?
Like a lot of the things that we think are new ideas are not. There is nothing creative about 2021.
Well, I just came up with the rotary telephone, right? That's new.
Yeah, and I just invented roundabouts for when we drive around, so we no longer need to drive.
Why don't we have those in America? Why don't we have like six of those in America?
See, I don't. You've seen way more of the country than I have. They are all over here, and they definitely.
That is correct.
So if it's super high traffic times, yeah, they're pretty bad. But mm-hmm. when it's not, it just moves. It's really nice. There are a lot of rules. It can be very stressful.
Yes. And you drive on the other side of the road in England. Is that right?
Yeah. And you get used to it. You have to remind yourself that you know how to drive. You have to be like, I actually do know how to drive. Yeah. And I'm so grateful that we're not driving a stick shift. I would never drive. It would
be a nightmare. It would be a nightmare. Now, Matthew, so with investing, right, we've kind of touched on the different ways that it works. And it, honestly, I have a better understanding, and I'm sure our listeners don't.
Because I'm curious, because I feel like I haven't really said anything about investing.
So investing to me has always been like in singularity, like putting money in the stock market, which to me is just like more acceptable gambling, like socially acceptable gambling is just like putting your money in a thing.
Well,
that
what do you think
no
your
guarantee.
401ks or your retirement accounts are?
I have no fucking idea what that 401k is.
Well, because it grows, right? You do know that you put it in and it grows over time.
Yes.
How do you think it grows?
That I know. Sunlight?
No, soil? I mean, when you put money in the bank, you're investing. If you put money in a savings account with any kind of yield, it's not a good investment because you get like 0.0%. It's like nothing, but that's technically investing because you can leave it somewhere. Because what the bank does is the bank takes your money and they lend it to other people. And they use that money and they earn interest on it and they put that money right back and they keep the difference. That's what short selling kind of is as well. When you talk about all the people short selling stocks, I mean, this is a complete tangent, but like I would borrow money from you to place a bet that, you know, the stock is going to go down. And so then there's that difference. I will take out my money because I went positive on that bet and I give you your money back and I keep the difference.
Gotcha.
You spend your money to make money.
Okay.
And then there's debt investments, equity investments. There's so much. It's such a deep dive. I want to say I would have prepared for this, but I don't think I've prepared for anything in my life.
and I will say chief among them is this podcast. I don't think either one of us
I'm a professional performer that's had to learn thousands of songs and dance routines.
Yes.
Haven't practiced anything in my life.
So would you say that like things like... like when you bought your camera and your microphone setup, is that technically an investment in your mind because you would imagine there's some sort of yield of profit because you purchased those things?
They should have been. But yes, they're in a perfect sense.
Spiritually.
If you think about it, yes. So that's what you think of things that are called like a business expense, anything that's like a tax write-off, anything that I choose to. That's why I talk about education, right? So if you are a salesperson and you purchase a $100 sales course, you can justify that that course, even though you paid $100 for it, earned you $200, right? So
right,
you got twice your money back. And there's like there's a hundred ways you could say that about books as well. That you know, if you get one good idea for a book, all from a book, all of a sudden that you know $16.99 piece from Barnes and Nobles has earned you $2 million. Bill Gates does Think Weeks. I think like 2 weeks a year, he just goes away to a cabin in the woods.
Thinks.
Yeah, and I think he just reads and he just kind of reconnects and gets some ideas for Microsoft and the company.
Right.
A lot of like huge investors spend most of their time reading. They literally just sit around either reading what's going on in the world or books. Warren Buffett spends most of his day reading.
It sounds incredibly daunting to me.
Yes and no, because if you think about it like this, right? So this is how I see it. And this is what the book, it's so weird that you brought this up. I was just, this is super nerdy. I was just journaling about this book this morning.
You booked about a book.
I'm super lazy, so I journal by using a dictation app and do it on the way to the gym in the morning.
Yes, I remember.
I literally just speak to myself. It's brilliant. No one else is listening. Just like this podcast. So
we made three. We're at $3, by the way.
So all I'm thinking, right? If I want to, I say I'm going to be an actor.
Yes.
It's a weird world, right? Because think about any other art form. A weird, wonderful world. Even like music,
yes.
Any of the visual arts, you can take your free time and put it into that craft. And you don't necessarily need to work for or with anybody else to produce a product.
Right.
For acting, you have to. You have to have that time available to go to auditions, work on projects, meet people. It's a huge part of the industry. And yes, there are people out there who just focus on the craft, but you can't do it in a vacuum. It is damn near impossible without looking like a crazy person on a street corner.
Yes.
So you need that availability of time. So that's why I see so many actors going into jobs like bartending, waiting, real estate as well, because it gives you that freedom of time for yourself. But what you're doing is you are taking your time and you are trading it for money on a flexible schedule. And so when you do get the acting jobs, you're flush with cash, or as flush with cash as you can be from the job. What do you do with that money? You can start to use that to buy something that's going to make you more money to replace that job.
Yes.
Because all it is if you could think about separating your acting work from your financial life, instead of thinking, all right, let me get another job to supplement that, let me buy things that are going to keep me thriving. So say you buy buy a 3-bedroom house and you rent that thing out, and all of a sudden you get a couple $1,000s a month, and now you know you're not living off that entirely, but you're paying for your rent in a major city where you need to go and audition. And now when you go work at the bartending jobs, you're just paying for food. You're not worrying about it. And you start to slowly subsidize bits and pieces of your life. And you could say you're investing in the building, but really you're investing in yourself and your lifestyle, and you're building yourself opportunities that you didn't have before, because you don't need to work that extra shift. You don't need to feel that pressure going into the audition room that I need to get this job so I can pay my rent. That's not a thing anymore. Arnold Schwarzenegger did it right. He was a millionaire before he became an actor. He came out here. He started He went out to California, started a construction company, and he would swindle people. He would full on swindle people. You read his biography. He was just the best kind of shyster, but he was owning property. He owned buildings. You know, all these big actors, what do you think they do with all their money? They invest it into products. Ashton Kutcher is like one of the most well-known venture capitalists to ever come out of that 70s show. But does that make sense? You see what I'm saying? Like
Yeah. And I guess it's a unique thing for you and I, because the purpose of investing would be to supplement income so we can do the thing that we actually want to do as a job.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many schools of thought. I don't prescribe to FIRE, and I don't necessarily prescribe to waiting till I retire to live my best life. Do you know about FIRE?
No, what is FIRE? Well, like the thing that sets things ablaze?
Financial independence, retire early. It's all these people who are trying to use investments and, you know, real lifestyle hacks to retire by 30. And I don't like the concept of retiring really either. Because, I mean, the other side is I could see myself acting in projects until I'm old and gray. I'm going to die. Yeah. I'm going to die like Christopher Plummer. Did he die? I don't know. But like work like Christopher Plummer until the day I die.
Hold on. Let me get the research team on it. Vamp for a second.
Yeah. Well, but you know what I mean? Like I could see myself enjoying the art form. And if someone goes, hey, I want you to be in the project, you'd love to. And in theory, that's working. But I love the art. Mm-hmm. And so everything I invest in is looking to make sure my family has everything they need. That's really all that matters. As long as my wife and son have a food and roof over their heads or whatever they need, I feel free to go do whatever I need to do.
He died February 5th, 2021.
I knew it.
All right, let's have a moment of silence for Christopher Plummer.
I've never seen The Sound of Music.
Well, it's because it's a sound. It's very hard to see. Well, I think that's... I brought up finances because it's something that you have a good handle on, and I am kind of back in a different place where I'm doing what I want to do for money again, I love teaching and whatever.
But yeah, it's different. Yeah.
My finances are not such an alarming issue as they have been over the past year and a half because it kind of was a sobering reality that I've been very, very fortunate that I have not had a tremendous financial burden because I pursued what I love to do. Like I've actually, through hard work and also a couple of lucky breaks have been making my income doing what I love to do. I'm currently sitting in a beautiful hotel with 2 days off before I do a couple of shows where, yeah, my knees are banged up and I have to do a lot of rehab, but like I get paid to do what I love to do. And I think the pandemic made me had a little bit more of a sobering realization is that eventually that will not be the case. And how do I extend that more? Because, I've worked jobs like I've said on the podcast before, and people that are listening probably even know who I am personally. Like I was a teacher, and I financially was, teachers don't make a shit ton of money, but it's definitely more consistent money than I ever made as a performer. I made more money as a performer, but it was, there were months at a time where I was like, well, I really hope that $7,000 for whatever makes it this whole
next
2 months.
But that's why actors need, that's why performers need to invest, because consistency is not our friend. And I stand by, like a consistent paycheck, and I hate to put it this way, this is awful, is one of the easiest way to kill your own dreams. Because
I don't disagree, man, because right now, I mean, I spoke to you about it before I made the call, where I had a job mm-hmm. lined up that was going to pay me more money than I've ever, like I would have probably cleared more money in a consistent 6 months than I'd ever made in my life. Like my paycheck every month would have been much more than I've ever made consistently. I've made more in a year, but I definitely would have had more consistent money.
But you were weighing the money. You know what I mean?
I was weighing the money as opposed to
wants a job. Nobody wants a job and those kind of responsibilities. They want purpose and they want cash flow and they want opportunity. So if your job provides that, bless you and your heart. That is amazing. I mean, like I think about like, if you want to keep it this interesting, think about somebody on SNL, someone who's going to be working freelance, hitting clubs, going doing improv shows for years and years. And now they have a job, but with that job, they have opportunity. They have purpose. They have money. And that doesn't need to necessarily come from full-time employment. I like investing because I'm super freaking lazy. And you know, I could start a business, but I'm not looking to run a business. I just want money so I can go pursue my craft. And then I can make money from that craft and put it into more investments. And then I can go pursue it. It's a way to make the things that I earn pay me back. Because if not, you're going to be flush with cash. And then you're going to run out of it and do it again. And I've done that too many times to count. And I was just like, this is what I was journaling about this morning. This is what I was talking to myself about this morning. That I literally wish I would have had this realization even 5 years ago when I started this journey. Because I overthought it. I was overwhelmed and I was like, oh, I need to make sure I learned this. But I really should have just whittled it down to the most simple fact of like, well, if I do this with this money now, it'll work for me later. Because there are two times, the two best times to plant a tree, or the best time to plant a tree is yesterday. The next best time is today. So you got to jump on and do it.
Wow. Did you come up with that?
Not even a little bit. That is some ancient wisdom. Damn, you know it. What? No, you cut this out. Yeah, man, I just thought of it right now.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, perfect. I'll make it the title of our podcast. The best time to plant a tree was yesterday. The next best time is today. And the worst time, during a drought. You should never plant a tree during a drought, right?
I think so. I think it's a pretty poor time to plant a tree. Maybe during surgery is an odd time to go and plant a tree. You can really...
Now, this isn't like real investment, right? This isn't like fiscal investment, which is what we've been talking about. But I will say, like, I've learned a lot about investing in your mental well-being.
Investing in yourself is a form of investing. Waking like up at 5 a.m. to go to the gym or meditating, that's investing in you. It's your invest. Time and money are... That shit is non-fungible.
it's non-fungible. Yeah, I mean, I've been going to the gym a lot, and that's definitely done a lot for my mental well-being. But also, like, being out on tour right now and being back doing what I love to do, this is definitely stressful. Like, what I do is stressful. Like, I had, a 16-hour travel. I mean, that was that day that we were supposed to record. I ended up having, a 16-hour travel day just because...
They don't know this. That we're recording right now in the middle of a 16-hour travel day.
Yeah. But, Matt and I have been trying to find a time to record on tour, and especially because we just started back out on the road, it's been a little difficult. Like, I took 2 flights and a 4-hour bus ride to get to San Angelo, Texas, which was one of the most desolate places I've ever performed in my life. And I wouldn't trade it for the world mentally. I mean, it was physically training, and definitely my finances this year are going to be a little tight because we have a lot of layoffs, with COVID and all those protocols. We're on and off the road. So planning that out has proved to be a little bit more difficult than I thought it would be. Did somebody just knock on my door? Hold on. I'll be right back, Matt.
So that last little piece of wisdom was not me. This is mine. I don't necessarily believe that you could spend money. Necessarily believe that spending can be an option, right?
Okay.
Spending comes in 2 forms. You are either investing or wasting. And that counts for your time and your money, as well as your calories, if you think about it. You are either investing, which is something that's going to return positively on you, or wasting, something that is, you're just getting rid of it. You're not getting this back. And sometimes that can be a form of investing as well. Sometimes you need to waste time for your own mental health. You need to sit down with a comic book or a movie, and you need that time to waste. Yeah. But you are either doing something that is bettering your situation, or you're wasting opportunity to better yourself. I don't want to say you're going to ruin your situation. I don't necessarily want to even think about it like that, but you are either taking the opportunity to better your station in life, for your body, for your status, for your financial well-being, or you're missing an opportunity to do it. And that's where the wasting comes in.
Right. And both are I guess for folks like you and I, that we are pursuing
white
what
guys
we'd love to do. Yes. White chicks.
Making my way down.
We're pursuing what we love as a profession, right?
Because you can't do anything else. I've tried doing other things, and
it's
that's
impossible.
Been some of the worst for my mental health. I mean, even right now, I'm working. It's not a real 9-to-5 corporate job, but it's when the reason we have to start thinking about these things as performers, of doing things with the money we earn to keep ourselves protected and safe, whether that's your emergency fund, paying attention to your budgeting, investing, you have to do it because it is so bad for your mental health to spend your life caring about something, refining your skill in it, and finding that collaboration and that work to be so enriching and good for you, that when you have to step away from it to the point where you have to take these energy vampires into your life that you are trading your time for, and then even when you do have time, and so even when you do have time for what you love to do, you don't have the energy or the willpower or the will to live. You know what I mean? If you don't have that, your life feels so meaningless. When you become a fish out of water, when you spend all your time learning to swim upstream, and now you're on a freaking track in Nigeria. You know what I mean?
For sure. And not that I don't think that everybody experiences this, because I think everybody at some point, you make the call. We all know that, at some point, everybody makes the call that, I no longer want to be an NBA player or this or that. And you're just I'm going to make enough money to keep my head above water.
I'm purely talking about if you have this drive and you still. And it can go away.
Matt and I talk about it all the time. So we returned to the stage with Stomp probably a month and change ago, a month and a half ago. And Matt and I had a couple of conversations. I don't really think I might not need to return to this. I think I'd be more happy kind of just making enough to live and being a little bit more comfortable with my finances and stuff. And then we did our first show at the Orpheum back, and I cried so hard.
Feels good, right?
That night. Feels I cried good. So hard because it was...
And your knees were broken, so like there was a lot of...
Yes, yes. I was also covered in Bengay. But it was like, not that I forgot, but it's hard to explain to someone that doesn't necessarily have that... Because you know what? Some people have a drive that I will never understand to make an abundance of money. That's never been a goal, like so much money. And like for people like that, that I know, it's incredible. It's impressive. Like how their drive is like, I want to make enough money that I will never have to think about money again.
Mm-hmm.
For me, my drive is like, I need to perform. Like I need to do it. I need in some facet. Like I was watching Always Sunny in Philadelphia bloopers like a couple days ago. And I'm like, I want that.
So
I want to be doing that, you know?
Well, it's a weird thing. And you were even saying, like, it's okay on the same token to not have that burn and passion in you anymore. Like, I have had
it's
a career.
It's probably better.
Oh, yeah. I've had a career better. As a singer. I've been a professional singer. And I'm at the point in my career in my life where the stress to make sure you sounded good, to take care of your voice... I still love performing. Acting is my world. But if I don't need to be a professional singer anymore to find that happiness, so I don't pursue that anymore. Right. But at the same time, because of the pandemic, because I've been traveling back and forth with our son starting his life, I haven't been even really performing at all. And yeah. So I cannot wait now for the opportunity once we find ourselves settled down somewhere to get back into the audition pool. I might even be starting from scratch, but it's going to be so damn fulfilling. And I know I'm comfortable doing this because I've started to set myself up on a trajectory to do this.
To make that happen, yeah.
Because you have to, you can't not do something you think about every day.
Yeah, I mean...
You can't avoid it. How do we always wind up on existential artist rants?
You know what it is? It's anytime we're talking about something that we're both like, this is really heady.
It's like we're the anti-nihilists right now. It's brilliant. Yes. There is meaning of life. I just recently read Man's Search for Meaning. Have you heard mm-hmm. about this?
No. Who wrote that? John Cena?
Viktor Frankl. He's a Holocaust survivor. So basically
okay.
John Cena.
I immediately redact my bit. I am so sorry, Mr.
No,
Frankl.
No. It's a brilliant book. It's not a book about woe is me. It's about how you can find, you know, that spirit to carry on when you feel like you don't know what there is to keep going for, how you keep your resolve, how you keep your strength,
yeah.
What you do to protect yourself. And it's crazy what people do. And it's all about meaning. It's all about having yeah. that purpose there. And if you can, well, this is not mine either, but if you can be clear about your why, you can figure out any how.
Yes. Oh, wow. Here's mine. Ready?
Yeah, go on.
When a river forks, run away.
I thought you were going to say scissor it. But think about
when a river.
So, like, I have a son now. This kid's this kid's brand freaking new.
He's brand fucking new, right out of the package.
Oh my goodness! Always shitting, and so. But like at the same time, like pursuing arts and making investments, something that is a huge part of my financial situation, has a lot of risk to it.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I've never had a clearer why to do these things for somebody. Because I went on a risky path, and I can't teach him to give up when things are hard either. And so all of a sudden, the things that are harder are even harder, but the why is even clearer. So all of a sudden, the how becomes clear. I've never had more clarity about how to make things happen. And I think a big question everyone should ask themselves, I think it's a Tim Ferriss question, is if it were easy, what would it look like? Mm-hmm. And I have a dictum that is my background on my computer right now. And there's three things I try and live by. It's to train daily, invest wisely, and act professionally. These are my goals.
My computer background is a picture of Pikachu. So, you know, we're at different stages in our life. But I think this conversation about financial literacy has helped me a lot, actually, because I always looked at it as something as like, this is just a means to make more money, but kind of centering it the way you do, where it's a means to ensure that you can continue to do the things that you love to do, as opposed to like, because, you know, I think, we've actually been talking for a fucking while about this, which is crazy. I did not think that was going to happen.
We dove in balls first.
But, you know, the thing that you see normally on Instagram or TikTok are these dudes that invest to invest. that's what they do is mm-hmm. like
they invest I to buy, sell you a course and
yeah
and
I lot. Buy property in order for me you know to do X Y or Z or even like a Dan Bilzerian guy who's like I made $1 billion on poker and now I invest it so I continue to have $1 billion, which is valid, but that doesn't speak to me in the same way as you being like, hey, make a plan so that when you know when I come off the road or the next there's the next stop gap in work that there is a road to continue to do what I love to do.
You realize what we do are assets as well. We are investing our time for financial reward. So take a YouTube video. If our YouTube videos start to get monetized and making money, it is an asset that we have out there that is always going to be able to earn for us.
Absolutely.
And that's what it is. So you in like not every investment needs to be a financial instrument. Look, there are really only three types of people that become super wealthy. It's the capital allocator, the virtuoso, and the the business owner.
Yes.
And each of those requires a different type of investment. There is nothing that you don't get anything without putting something in.
Yes.
So put something in. Put it in. How do you think I got my son? I'm sorry. That was crude.
Oh, my God.
That was
crude. Oh, my God. Your penis was a vehicle of investment.
I've been recently telling him that he was a speckle in mine balls.
You know, Matt, I don't know why I thought there'd be a seismic shift in who you were as a dad, but I'm just realizing that as a dad, you're just more yourself.
You got to be. Oh, my God. If you suppress yourself, the world suppresses you, and I refuse.
Wow. Wow, Matt. Today has been a lineage of just quote after quote. You know, when the levee breaks.
Should we become a financial podcast?
Yeah. Yes. I want people to call in and tell me their financial woes, and then I'm just going to there's that one guy.
Dave Ramsey. You're talking about Dave Ramsey.
Oh, God. They'll be like, hey.
It's a good
Dave,
book, though. To be fair, if you are struggling with debt and like I don't think go too far past the book, but if you're struggling with your finances, read The Total Money Makeover. It'll help you. But I'm sorry,
he cracks me up anytime. So he's like, yeah, you know, me and my wife were like $30,000 in debt. He's like, well, have you considered killing yourself? And he's like, they're like, no. He's like, well, then I have like here's a plan. You're going to be miserable till you're 97. And I'm like, oh my God, dude.
Yeah. My wife and I are $1 million in debt and we just bought 3 boats.
What? Yeah. Yeah, he's like, well, have you considered automatic death? Matt, this has gone a lot farther than I thought.
Yeah,
and I think it's been an actually wonderful conversation.
I'm looking at our little man is waking up. I don't know if you can see.
Oh,
this.
Buddy, get on the Patreon so you can see this baby.
Yeah. Oh, wait, no, he's closing his eyes. Oh, I'm whispering. Okay, I'm in a different part of the house. Quiet. He's upstairs.
No, you have a direct. He has a direct line to this podcast in his crib, right?
Yeah, no, it's the only thing he listens to. It's White Noise Machines, Lullabies, and Weird Wonderful Worlds.
Well, everyone, thank you for listening. I'm hoping that this next round of episodes is really, really jaunching everybody's jaunches. Not sure what that meant.
Oh, no,
but
no,
I said it.
Yeah, my jaunch is so wet and meaty right now.
Yes, and because I have an entire month off of work, I'm going to guarantee that the next episode we record is going to have a guest, Matt. I'm going to set it up.
Whoa. That's ballsy. Well, it technically is because we have that Nathan one coming out. So look,
we do. Well, I already succeeded. So
yeah, another job well done. All right. Well, thank you guys so much for listening, for enjoying our rant. And I'm sure, I'm probably less Sean, but definitely me, have spat out some incorrect things or things that could be corrected about financial life and personal financial stakes. So tell us, get in touch with us. Like, we'd love to discuss these. And that's not just this is any of our things. We do deep dives into our memory of these things or our connections with them. It doesn't mean that it is the be all end all for how these worlds are or what the experience is like for everybody. So reach out, talk to us. You might even be getting a chance to come on the podcast with us as well. So we hope to hear from you. If you want, find us on YouTube, 21st Floor Comedy. Find me at MattSidney1 on the Instagram. Sean, how about yourself?
I'm at Sean Parham is me on all things. Like I said, you can find me on the road with Stomp. Depending on when this comes out, I might still be on the road. Go to stomp.com. I am on the U.S. tour. I also fill in New York a lot, but it's good to be back working, like I was just saying. And you can find us on youtube.com/21stfloorcomedy. Again, our movie reviews are starting to really get some steam on there, which I love.
And OnlyFans is allowing pornography again, so we're going to start back up. We're going to get everything you need.
There was a brief stopgap.
Yeah, there was a momentary mortem.
Check out our Patreon. There's nobody on there, and that's okay. When you're the first person, I'll send you a cookie.
I actually think one of the items is if you're the first person on to declare what this rule is, it's that rule forever. So we're still waiting.
It will be. Yes, we're still waiting for it to be declared.
All right. Well, thank you guys so much for listening.
And as always, stay weird. Stay wonderful. Stay the world. Oh, no.